Testing. August 25th, 1979, talking to Josephine Roberts at her home in Tanana. Okay, well, since we were just out picking berries, maybe we could just talk a little bit about some of the things you were saying about camping, like how you used to camp and what kind of wood you burned and...
Oh, you mean over Hazeloo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, once in... I think last year was the first time we missed camping out over there. Just us ladies, you know. And like Mary said, we had 7 tents there at one time. And then we gather firewood, just like that. That wood we're talking about, what did we call
the
it
alder?
Now? Oh yeah, the alderwood, dry alderwood.
And then... you have your name for that, the native name for that?
Askot. Mm-hmm. That's what we call it. That's, kot means wood. Mm-hmm. And the alder is qas. I don't know why they call it qas, because it reminds me of red. I think that's what they make those orange dye from. I think you could try it someday. I think there's some growing around your camp, I'm sure. And you just peel it off and you just leave it, and then I think it gets red.
So the bark is
what? Mm-hmm, the bark. You know, you just, with a knife, you just slice them off, like, and then just put them in a can and it'll get red or orange or whatever.
And then how would you use that?
That's what they... I think they do. I never did it myself, but I think they add a little water to it, and then it gets red. And then that's what they use for snowshoes and stuff like that. Or sleighs. Because that's what they used to use a long time ago. Because they never had no dye. And then that brown stump wood I was showing to your husband, that's what they tan a moose skin with, smoke the moose skin with. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it brown. And it make it smell smoky. You ever smell moose skin? Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you're saying that, it was just be the ladies that would camp out?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Uh-huh. The idea is that we're there early in the morning and we get an early start. Then we're there all day and then we just come home in the evening. That's of course, great. We come in.
No. So you were talking about how all the ladies would camp out so they could get an early start?
Oh yes, picking berries.
Mm-hmm. Who would be the ones to go out there?
There would be like Florence Albert, Bertha Folger, and sometimes her daughter, Ruth Folger, Marjorie Summers, and her daughter. I would go, one or two of my daughters would go, and then like Mary Dick, Joe John and his wife. Oh, there's a guy there. And one year, Dr. James' wife went with us. She had a big tent and they brought some nurses over and they stayed overnight with us too. Yeah. Usually just sit around a campfire, have the fire going and tell stories. Long time ago, and then it always wind up. I was telling about this wild man, Nicolay, we call him, you know, all the time.
And everybody sleeps close together.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sometimes one year, Alfred Grant and his wife went with us too. So it's not always ladies all the time. But couple years, I know that it was all ladies, you know.
So how come you didn't go last year?
I think the reason was the water was too low. You know, we had to pull up. I mean, we had to pull the boat up as far as that place where we were.
Maybe you could tell me more about that. You know, who you went up with last year and
Jack Powers and his wife. They wanted to go berry picking at Tamara. I said, there's berries over Hayslough. I said, but I heard that there wasn't too much, but enough to pick, you know. And they said, well, as long as you get a few berries, they're satisfied, you know. So we went up, we went into the Hayslough, and we went just a ways, and then it was too shallow. But then the beach was pretty good. It was, you know, the water was low all spring and all summer that way. It's just dry, you know, good walking. So I told Jack Powers, well, I'll show you. I say, I'm going to pull the boat. I say, I'll just use the rope, you know. And I say, you keep the boat out, you know. And he said, well, I said, that's what we used to do when we were kids. You know, Helen Stanish, we used to always do that for her. We used to go way up above Glen. I don't know how many miles, about maybe 7 miles. Right in that old Loudon Slough. That's how far we used to go. Paddle across and use long rope on a boat, and she always stare out, you know. He said, okay, well, let's try it like that. And that's what we did. We took turns, though, you know.
So all of you take turns?
No, just Dr. Powers and I. His wife was pregnant, you know, she was just ready to have her baby. So we didn't let her. So although she wanted to, she said, well, I don't see why I don't try. No, you sit in the boat. They had their little daughter with them too.
Well, who is Helen Stanish you were talking about?
That's an old lady. She was a cripple lady. She always used to like to pick berries, and she used to take us young people out, you know. And we used to like to hang around her because she always used to tell stories.
What would she tell stories about?
Long ago. It's not with me anymore, though.
You don't remember?
Oh, yeah. It's gone. It's been so long ago, you know. 40 years, and you gotta hear it once in a while for it to stay with you.
Was berry picking one of the times of year you really like? You look forward to berry picking?
No, moose hunting. Oh yeah, I like berry picking. I like berry picking too, but I like moose hunting. Mm-hmm. And muskrat hunting. Springtime and fall time.
Well, what do you like about moose hunting? What is it like? Say if you were to tell somebody about it, you never went, young kids, how would you tell your grandchildren?
Well, I know when I was young, we never used to go out hunting. And downriver, I never used to see women go with their husband because they believe that moose, you know, is, well, it'll attack you, you know. Because they go for anything. They go for any little noise. And then they say, if you ever get caught while you're out there and moose is right at you, they say, I was over Hayslough, there was a bunch of, you know, as we came down that hill, you know, that slope, there was a bunch of cotton tree growing together like that. Right in that one little area, there was about 5 cotton tree like that. And I was just going to tell you guys, that's the kind of place they say for us to look for as soon as possible when we know that moose is going to get at you and get in those heavy trees, you know, because that'll protect you from the moose, you know, because it has a big horns. And I was going to show you those trees, you know, that was kind of clustered together there. And there's about 5 of them, I think, big ones. But then we started talking about something else, and I forgot about it, and we just kept on going. You know, when you and Mary Dick was coming down the hill.
Mm-hmm. I think that's when you said, oh, the big cottonwoods, was that?
Mm-hmm. And then that's when I noticed those trees over there. There's five of them that's all together, like, and that's the kind they say for us to look for, you know, like if moose is close by, you know, it's close by, and you think that it's gonna attack you.
Is mm-hmm. there just certain times when moose does that?
Like mm-hmm. Fall time.
That's mm-hmm.
time. Yeah. It goes for any noise. And when my husband and I used to go out hunting, he always used to have those moose shoulder blade, a dry one. And he usually just rubbed that on a tree like this about maybe three times, and then he hits the tree like that with it. Usually if we're a paisley or a fish creek, I'd find a tree, a birch tree, you know, a good size one. And then I'd climb, you know, I'd tell him, I'm going to climb a tree, I'm going to listen for moose. Usually I hear them too. One time in Haisley we saw three. We stopped and he was going to make tea, you know. And I told him, I'm going to climb this tree. It's a nice big tree, you know. So I climbed, and I was sitting there, and I thought I heard a moose, you know, on my left side. I tell him, I think I hear a moose. And you see, yeah? And I was there still listening, and I tell him, I hear another one, right straight back. And he said, that's two moose? I said, yeah. And I was still there. I said, hey, I said, there's one right up here, close by. And then he said, you're sure? I said, I'm sure you could hear that one, you know. And so he made tea fast, you know. And then I climbed back down, and he said, well, we'll walk back this way. So we walked back a ways, and we came to a grass lake. And then I decided I was going to climb a tree again. And then while that he was around, you know, he was out there in the grass lake listening, and he was using that thing, you know. And then he came back to me and he said, you see any? I said, yeah. I say, the one I hear is coming over this way in the grass lake. And he said, I tell him, the one that I hear across the lake is coming this way. And I said, I still don't see this one. I say, but I still hear it. And he decided he's going to climb a tree too. Because, you know, by the time I saw this one come out over here, I tell him, hey, that's a big one. That's a big bull moose, you know. And then, so he decided, he said, you're right. He said, it makes those other ones just look small. Great big moose. And then he said, well, let's move down a ways and we'll call it. He said, maybe it'll come, you know. So that's what we did, but it wouldn't come. They were all out there in the middle of the lake. And he said, it's too far to pack, and the lake is too boggy out there, you know. So we didn't bother with it. We didn't shoot at it or anything.
What year was that?
Gee, that was in, must have been in 67, I think. That was when the water was high. That's when Fairbanks went.
So you said you used to like to climb trees, huh? Is that from when you were young?
No, I did that when my old man and I used to hunt, you know. That's about, gee, he'd be gone 7 years. I never climbed a tree since then. No.
Well, you were also saying something about how a lot of times when you go out with kids,
uh-huh.
children, how they make a lot of noise.
Oh yeah, Mary Dick and I were just talking about it. The reason is one time, this is while I was still down Galena. Lena Holcheese and I, we were hunting muskrat, you know. She had a canoe and I had a canoe, and we were still shooting beaver then, you know. And we were hunting beaver, and we were on the down towards Kaikuk, like, you know, we were around the lakes, you know, we just pack our canoe through portages, you know. And we just had came to the last lake before we came to back to the creek, you know, to paddle back to our main camp. And we were just going to leave there, and all of a sudden I hear this. That's the first time I ever hear a young bear, black bear. It say, Ina, just like it say, mother, you know, in our own language. And I turn around and I look at her and I said, you hear that? And she said, oh, she said, that's an Indian. She said, that's black bear. She said, that's a young one. It's calling its mother. I look at her and I said, I never did hear that before. And she said, well, that should be a lesson to you. She said, that's why your dad and your mom always worry about you when you're out by yourself. And I thought about it, you know, because I used to hunt by myself a lot. I used to, right in that area, I used to just go and I used to just be out, you know. I never come home for about maybe 2-3 days. Just by myself, you know, around the lake, I'll just find a good tree, you know, a spruce tree, and I just lay down under the tree and go to sleep. And sleep. I always, you know, say a little prayer, kind of lay there, something is watching over me. I always did, but they always worried about me.
When did you start going out by yourself?
The first. All the time. I used to do that in fish camp all the time too. You know, when the high bush cranberries is ripe, ready to eat, I'm out there eating high bush cranberries all the time. I used to eat a lot of high bush cranberries. I don't anymore though.
How come you don't eat them anymore?
I don't know. I just don't. Maybe that's why I was healthy, I guess. Because I used to eat a lot of high bush cranberries. From the time it's half red, you know.
So when you started going out hunting, were you in your teens? Or?
Well, yeah, I was in my teens. When we were at Novi, that was in 1935. I was born 1922. I was young. I used to go out with those little 22. They tell me it's a rough country, you know. There's brown bears, there's wolves, black bears, you know. You think I'd listen, I'd just go out. It's not like around where I was, around spring camp, you know, above, across Galena, because there's not that many lakes. But there's rolling hills. There's one high hill that I used to climb. Boy, but they all get after me. So I never did that too often, but I know I did twice.
What did you get the 2 times you went out? What was that like?
I never catch anything when I go out at Novi. But then across Galena, I usually catch muskrat and shoot at ducks, and I kill duck, you know, usually cook it by campfire.
Did you ever have to get a bear?
Never saw any. I was just lucky, I guess. I never met up with a bear. You know, when I come to think about it, I always think, I guess something was really watching over me. Because there's a lot of wolf tracks around Novi, bear tracks. When I think about it, I don't think I'll do that anymore. not the way the animals change. Everybody say animals are changing.
They're changing now.
Mm-hmm.
How are they changing?
For one thing, they attack people. Which seems like they never used to do a long time ago. Unless there's a strong superstition about black bears. Or for that matter, brown bears is even worse. You're not even supposed to talk about them. And the way people used to take care of their animals long time ago was good. Like beaver bones, you never throw it in the river. You always get rid of it in the lake. Put it back in the lake. Because they say that's where it came from, you know. And black bears, young girls, were not supposed to look at it. And they're not supposed to eat, especially if they just became a young woman, they're not supposed to eat black bear meat. Things like that. And when men kill black bear, they really took good care of it. They just never let it lay around and rot and stuff like that.
What would they have to do to take good care of it?
Well, they skin it right, or they dry it or something, you know. They never let it rot. But not that I know. They stretched the skin, they took good care of the skin.
So do people think that animals are changing because people aren't taking care of them the right way now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my own feeling too, you know, because we were taught that you're supposed to take care of the animals a certain way, you know, have respect for it. And it's not so nowadays.
Which of the animals are changing?
Especially black bears. Because it seems like you always hear that they're attacking people. And right now, people just shoot them and just throw them in the river or throw them to the dump or, you know.
Have there been a lot around here of black bears?
For a while there. The one swam across this summer, huh? Yeah. And they used to see quite a few up the road. Used to come to those places where those people live, Carlos and Bensie and them.
How many times did you go up the Novi? How often?
Just that once. We were up way at the head of the Novi.
So that was 1935?
I think it was 1935, yeah.
Is that the same time when you walked up?
Yeah.
Maybe
from my father, that's Edgar Narner, and Inyas Paul and his wife, and they had two daughters and a son. And then Ol Hul Cheese and his wife and their kids. And then Helen Stanish and her husband. They all decided that they're gonna, that was when they were still shooting beaver, you know. So they were gonna go to Novi. Well, they didn't want to leave us home too long, so they decided they're gonna just take the whole family. So that's what happened. Anyway, as a result, we had to walk all the way from Galena to head of Novi.
So what was that like walking? How long did it take, and what did you do?
Well, as long as it's, you know, like in springtime, you know, it freezes over real hard, and you could just walk any place. And you can walk long ways. And then when it starts getting too soft, well, you just make camp until it starts freezing up again.
So every day it would get a little soft? Is that what would happen?
No, it freezes up during the night. So that makes the walking easy, you know, because you could just walk on top of the crust.
So would you start in the morning?
Early in the morning. Something like maybe 2 o'clock, maybe even 1:30, while it's still frozen.
And what time would you have to make camp? Because it would be soft?
Well, by 8 o'clock, you notice that you start falling, you know, it's too soft to walk on a crust.
That's 8 o'clock in the morning?
So somewhere around there, yeah. And then they make camp.
So what would you do to make camp? What would you do while you make camp?
Rest. Rest. Yes, rest and sleep, because you're up nighttime just about, you know.
So how many miles do you think that is from where you are? Oh,
gee, I don't know. I know it was quite a ways. From Galena, I think we made it. I don't know if we made it one day or not. I don't think so. Because, you see, they have dogs, and it's the little ones have to be in a big, long sleigh, you know, plus our stuff. In the meantime, you see, they take a load ahead. They're always taking 2 loads or something ahead. Yeah, that's all the food. And this, you're not supposed to take any clothing, just maybe just 2 changes, and that's it. Because each person is supposed to just have maybe 2 shirts or something like that. And you wash often, you know. That's nothing. It's better than hauling around big load.
So when you stop to camp, what do you have tents or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tents.
And that's what they already took ahead with the dogs.
Mm-hmm. That's where you usually reach. And then they pitch up tent and then just pass out or whatever. That's one thing, that's what mothers were for, seems like, though, you know, they were cooking.
So they didn't get to pass out right away, they had to work?
Yeah, but then they get to ride, too.
Oh,
they're right
they
there.
They have to ride in the sled.
I don't know how much riding they do. Not very much, I don't think. But then when you have snowshoes, it helps.
So it was all of the kids who were walking?
The bigger kids, yeah. And the littler ones get to ride.
So who was it that ended up walking?
There was me, of course. I was the oldest. And Mary. And I don't know if my brother did too or not. Barney. I think he did some walking. He was old enough, but the rest were too small. So they had to ride. Mm-hmm. Well, I know we stayed in Ruby, and my dad and them, they took load ahead. I don't know, maybe 2 days, I guess. And then when they came back, well, we started walking. But then it was nice walking out to Long Creek. And then from there, we pass Poor Man, too. And then from there, you know, seems like there was trail all along there. It was good walking, I know. But all from there was cabins here and there where we stopped. That's Charlie Carlo, his dad's place, you know. I remember we used to stop at these old cabins, trapping cabins. And boy, it was good to stop in a cabin, you know. All kinds of old movie books, since like 1934, 32, 31 movie books. I wonder if they're still there. We used to just look at those magazines. We feel like we want to take it, but then we know it belonged to somebody. We wouldn't even take a magazine because we thought it belonged to somebody them days. Isn't that something?
But things always stayed in cabins then.
Yeah, you know, those magazines, we sure would like to take them. Stick them in our pack sack, but we wouldn't do it because we know it belonged to somebody.
When you got to the Novi, what did you do there?
Well, they set up the main camp. They set up the main camp, tents all around, and then they tied the dogs all around, all the dogs that came over with us. I think there's three rows, I guess, all around. Because you see, they're going to leave us there, and they're going to go hunting. Because you see, they're going to build canoes. That's what they did. They built canoes. And then as soon as their canoes were ready, they were ready to go further up, still further up, while we stayed at the camp. I think I had a gun. It seemed like it. I was kind of young, and I don't remember too much about it. But I know I was taking care of my little brothers and sisters, and my dad and my mother, Wayne. All the Mr. and Mrs. took off, and there we were, just us. But then Dora and Reba were older, you know. And Lorraine and I were kind of younger. Susie was younger, still younger than me. But we're out there, they always say, don't sleep too hard. You know, so we just, somebody is always kind of on watch, like, you say, anytime you hear those dogs barking, you just watch, you know, and that's what we did. We're all right up. As soon as you hear the dogs barking, you're up, looking through the tent, you know, see if you see any kind of animal, you know. We were kind of in the open place, though. You could just see way back, all over, you know. I think there was a timber. Go out the back way, huh?
Okay.
Timber east to us, but it is kind of a ways. So if any bear or anything came, you could just see, you know. So that's one good thing, you know, we had a good camp. And the river is right here, you know.
So how long did all the parents stay out?
They stay out about 10 days at a time. And then they come back, and then they get all their fur taken care of. Stretch them, dry them, and then all the meat taken care of, and then they go take off again. I think they did it about three times, I think. Because we got there, we left Galena in April, and then we got there the same month. And then in June, first part of June, we left that camp. And then that's when they built the boat. You know, they sawed their own lumbers, and then they made the scows. My dad made kind of big scow, loaded down with fur. No grub. We ran out. Just had meat. I had no sugar. Just meat we eat. We stopped some places, and then we picked those wild, you know, those Lobos cranberries, you know. When it thaws out, you could see them. And then we make kind of a syrup out of it, you know. We had flour yet, though. And my mother cooked a batch of cranberries. Oh, it was good. Never tasted anything that was so good.
And what other meat were you eating then?
Beaver meat, moose meat, ducks, stuff like that. I think by the time we got back up to the mouth, you know, of Nobi, we were just about out of everything. But we had a lot of dry meat and stuff, you know. And tallow, you know, from moose. And bear fat. You eat that with the dry meat and it's good. When you're hungry, you eat anything. Andrew Holtz and I, we just paddle all the way out. Mary couldn't make it. Every time she tries, she just fall backwards because she missed the water, you know. She's smart, you know. I tell her that too, you know. I said, boy, I give you credit. I said, you were a smart girl. You just pretended you didn't know how to paddle. You just missed the water and you fall backwards and you cry and you just get out of it. She said, oh, well, I was spoiled anyway. I didn't want to be spoiled.
Well, how many people built their own scows?
Well, I remember Inyas Paul and them had their own. And all Holchis and them had their own, I think. Seems like there was three. There was three scows, three big scows, you know. And we just follow each other. Because I remember when we were just paddling out and there was a boat ahead of us, all of a sudden you start hearing somebody just shoot. And we were in a canyon, like, you know. And all of a sudden, we just stopped paddling and we were looking ahead. And my mom said, don't look now. Well, of course, we can't look in case it was black bear. Here it was a wolf. But it started running up. And I think it was Inyas Paul. He shot it. He got it. And they skinned it right there. And then they got all the dry wood and they just burned the wolf right there. You see, they burned it. They didn't want it to rot there, so they burned it. I mean, you see what I say, how they used to take care of their animals? Kind of out of the way place, you know, so that they say nobody will just stomp all over the place, you know, like if people came by. They even pick a spot where people will walk the ground where they burn that wood.
Do they do that with all kinds of animals or just wolf?
Especially wolf. Because they have a superstition to that too.
So when they get a wolf, then it's what parts do they burn?
The carcass, you know. They just save the skin. And I think the bounty was on them. I'm not too sure.
You know, you got to go hunting when you're younger. You went with your parents, and I wonder how is it different for younger people now. Do many of them go hunting around here?
Well, that's one thing I said I remember about hunting with my folks. I never did go hunting. That's why I used to just go out and hunt by myself, I guess, because I never went with my dad or my mother. So I just go out, because I like to hunt, so I just went out. And one spring he said that, well, we're not going to let her stay by herself, you know, we're just going to... Sam Standish and his family had a camp, I don't know how many miles away from us, and my dad told him, my mom, he said, I think I'm going to go down to Sam Stanish and them, and I'll tell them to spring camp with us, you know. So Lorraine will be here, so she don't have to go by herself. Him and me. So that's the way it was. He went and he moved that family to our camp. So Lorraine and I used to go out. We used to camp out. Had a lot of fun. I had company anyway. That's what I said. I never did. Because I was lucky. Because you always see tracks, you know. You always see moose tracks, bear tracks. You're bound to.
After
I married, I started going out with my husband. We used to go up Tanner River a lot, so we used to go mostly. I know my daughters never go hunting. I don't think they know what it is to go hunting. Well, for one thing, you're not in spring camp. Like if they were in a spring camp, I think they'd go out around the lakes, set muskrat traps, you know. And then when the muskrats start coming out, you know, out on the lakes. You ever went muskrat hunting? And you notice that they always start coming out in the afternoon around 4 o'clock or something, start coming up to feed on a lake. I used to carry around, you know, those dry apple box. It's a little box. It's about this long, and about this wide, I guess. Just a, yeah.
8 inches, 10 inches.
About 10 inches, or maybe a foot. Mm-hmm. That's what I used to keep in my pack sack. It just be good to just sit on it, you know, out on the ice, you know, waiting for a muskrat to come out. Because if you find a place where a muskrat come out here and there, you just sit there and all of a sudden, you see a muskrat go out over there? Fall over. Just go over there, pick it up.